alert. Red alert. Red alert.
You crossed my line of death!
You haven't dismantled your MX stockpile.
Pakistan is threatening my border!
That's it, Buster. No more military aid!
Nuke 'em. Get them before they get you. Another quality home game from Butler Brothers.
Yeah!
Attention all good brothers and sisters. Welcome to Tales from the Bolterlands. Welcome back to the Basement of the Infidel. As always, I am joined by my co-host, the instigator himself, Scott Waterford.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Still here. Never left.
Yeah, you did.
Not really.
I didn't see you when it was bailing buckets time. Scott hooked me up with an awesome birthday present. I now have a Predator figure to go with my Dutch, and the accessories are off the charts. It is pretty, pretty slick. So they'll be getting a placement of honor here in the basement of the Citadel as I put the art back up on the walls and get all my stuff back in order.
It's even got like a spare spinal cord, a whole spinal column, just an extra vertebral column. You know, here you go. It comes with two.
And I really dug the fact that the scale is right. You know, like the Predator is like heads and shoulders taller.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Than the Dutch
figure. Arnold only comes up to the Predator's shoulder, which is great.
No, it's fantastic.
Can you imagine how tall the Danny Glover character would come up to? He'd be like up to the Predator's like nipple.
We soaked all the O2 out of the basement when we realized that his wrist computer flips open. And you see the panel for the self-destruct thing. That was a moment. I got a little tear-eyed on that one. That was tight.
That was a bonus feature that none of us were expecting.
Yeah. So for this episode, this is episode 6 of season 2.
Is that what we're on?
Yeah.
Mother of God.
So we have dubbed this one Woot the Falk, and you'll find out more later on in the episode. Doing a quick intro, we wanted to warn the friends and neighbors. This one gets a little blue towards the end of the episode. So if you're listening to this at work, you want to have your headphones, your iPods in, not so much is it AirPods? I don't know. The technology escapes me.
I don't know. It'd be impressive to see someone sticking a whole iPod in it. Maybe it was an iPod Nano. You could stick them in your ear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's AirPod?
AirPods.
All right. It's a thing.
It's something the kids use.
We're learning new stuff every day. Friends and neighbors, good brethren and sisterin, Tales from the Bolterland, back again, somewhat on regular schedule.
Was hiding very carefully. As you know, your vision is based upon movement. So if I cover myself in
this
mud,
is very true.
I cover myself in mud and put myself up against the furnace, you can't see me.
Okay. Fair enough. So yeah, towards the end of the episode, it might get a little blue. Oh, it will get blue. I've already recorded it. So heads up, if you're opening, listening to this in a family environment, there might be some colorful language towards the end. This is our first one, so we're going to flag it on the credits, but we want to let you guys know, first and foremost, don't freak out.
It's not our language, though.
No, but I think it's very fitting for the episode. I guess other updates, I'd fallen behind. The podcast is running late. Things have been chaotic here in the basement. But I also got a new job. And now I've actually returned back to the gaming industry. I work for a gaming distributor now that I worked for about 15 years ago. And what left went into my career in biotech and got swayed and have returned.
Remember how they told us all to go into the medical field? It'd be great. You know, There's always a job in medicine.
No.
They lied.
They lied.
They lied so hard. Well, there's a job, all right.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the job you want.
No. No. So I am no longer doing what I was doing. I'm back in management and logistics, which is spreadsheets, which I like to do. So
you're an Excel man.
Yeah.
You excel at
Excel.
Excel.
Yeah.
2013.
No, we'll get the Microsoft 365, dude.
That's a subscription service, though. You know how much they want for that a month?
I'm not paying it. I don't care.
2013, where is that? Long live the 2013, last one you can get, and just pay for it once.
But we're still rocking the old school voicemail jam session.
You're still rocking Cisco Magic? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I live for that.
So what about you? Any news? Anything happening?
Yeah. A couple things happening. Big news. The mega powers will be combined at long last. As I said, there's no money in the banana stand that is medical anything. Yeah. Let's be real. There's no money for people like us. Maybe if I wore a suit all the time and I had like more letters after my name, maybe it'd be worth something. But for people like me, there's not. So I will be joining the greatness that is ACD.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough life. Someone's got to live it. I'm glad it's you.
I'm going to bury myself in Nerf guns and action figures and just, you know, I'm going to look like Scrooge McDuck diving into the giant pile.
Man, we'll be working at the same place.
Not doing the same thing, though.
Nope. Leaving the warehouse behind.
Yep. No, I'm moving on. I will be selling Nerf guns. That's what you came up with.
Yeah.
Can I have the country of origin?
Georgia.
Could you use it in a sentence?
Yes. We were asked to pack up some of the samples that are going to a trade show in early August.
Oh, I know of that trade show. I know of Astra.
Yeah, you'll be going to it.
I'll be there.
We have all these samples of various products that we represent and sell. And one of them is a Mandalorian fully painted plastic helmet. Put it on your head and go.
And you probably press a button on the side and it says, this is the way. Or it says, you know, one of six phrases from the show.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it'd be a shame if I didn't make it to the Astra show.
It'd be a shame if you didn't make it back from the Astra show, I think is what you're trying to say. So I think what you're saying is that we'll be driving back and then we'll have our own little version of Fast and the Furious where I'm literally trying to huck it out the back of the truck and you're coming behind with Michelle Rodriguez clinging, you know, we're boosted DVD players, man. And I'll be like, you can't do that. I'll be like, it's okay. I got family. Worst meme of 2021.
That means we have no PTO to take because we're all both starting over. But the good news is that we're in different departments. So taking days off to do dust days or go to conventions should be a thing.
And I want to see you every day.
There's that too. But you will see me in the afternoons. Yeah.
I'll just choose not to see you. I'll put on the visor.
That's when you put the visor down. Yeah. On your Mando helmet.
Yeah, exactly. I'll do that while picking orders. That's fine.
Yeah. But speaking of dust days, we have a location. Now, we even have a name. We don't have a date yet, but we'll have one soon. But the name right now is the Super Summer Sizzler Showdown de Spectacular. I just did. The Super Summer Sizzler Showdown de Spectacular is coming to a location in Madison very, very soon.
I can't spell that.
Don't have to.
I'm not drunk enough to spell that. I don't think I've ever been drunk enough to spell whatever just came out of your mouth.
Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
All I know is that Sizzlers are closed.
We're going to Sizzle.
Don't tempt me. There's no Sizzlers anymore.
Well.
And maybe in some multiverse there's a Sizzler, but not this one.
Yeah.
It'll be little Crocodile Loki and me sitting at Sizzler.
Sitting going up,
getting steaks. Nothing but steaks.
We wanted to do it in August, but the Dusty Barbecue is already booked. We know of a bunch of folks that are already cashing in some brownie points to attend that. So we got to put a little bit of daylight in between the Dusty Barbecue weekend and our event. So everyone can get plenty of advance notice to have time, get time off and work out their carpools and cash in some new brownie points to go play for a day. But also in other news, too, now that things have opened back up here in Dane County in Madison, we've had 2 weeks of Dusty Thursdays at Noble Night.
This is true.
So we're all about trying to get that signal broadcast and let folks know they can come get their Dusty games on Thursdays. Brother Ben's been there 2 weeks running. We which is awesome because that means Brother Bannon's having to come from across town.
We all know how hard that is in Madison. No one crosses the lakes.
Yeah, but Ben does when he's driven, when he's ready. He's been itching to play.
He's got that van. He drives in style.
He rides in comfort. He drove us to dinner tonight.
He did. It was great.
I was trying to convince him to hang on and join the intro with us, but he didn't want to wear out all his points.
He's like Clint Eastwood. You know, he's the man with no name. He just comes in, solves a problem, and then moves on.
Yeah. I'll have my part done. It'll be moving on to you soon for all the assets.
Okay, wait. Okay, what's going to happen first? We're going to finish this tip of the cap to the coffin box. It sounds like a rap song, right?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay, which is going to happen first? We finish that.
To the coffin box campaign.
We're still doing that?
Yeah.
Wow, it's only been like a year and a half in the
making. No, it's almost a year, but not. We'll actually get it done in less than a year. Probably both. I mean, they'll probably come out with a fully fleshed out. Because that was their idea. We stole that. So that's a really good idea. Let's do it our style.
But if we finish first, that means they stole it from us.
Yeah.
So exactly. We have to finish first.
Yeah.
So that way they are the ones that stole it from us.
Yes.
Okay.
For once. Oh, yeah. We got news for days. We finished the playtest of the Tip of the Cap.
Or Dust World Journals comes out with another podcast.
But they had mentioned on one of the last episodes they did last year that they were...
I'm still waiting for their big thing. They were talking about big things coming up.
Well, I mean, the big thing was COVID, and it screwed everybody up.
It came. It's there.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, they
still there.
Good thoughts to all of them, and hope everybody made it through. And I know they had a lot of plans. They were going to do the second podcast, do over hobby and terrain and stuff. So I'm a fan. I'm a subscriber. I'm anxiously waiting for another episode. So I'm hoping they get back to it. But nothing wrong. Friends getting together in a basement and recording. It's kind of what we do.
We're not friends.
Well, there's that, and we make bigger asses of ourselves than they do. So I guess that counts for something.
We're Americans, though. That's what's expected. Even if you're wrong, do not get in a fight.
Yeah.
Don't get in a fight with an American. They're arrogant, and they will win.
A lot of things happening. I mean, there's no dull moments, that's for sure. Always more and more to do. But, yeah, one day I'll get mine back up and running again. Look, I'm just really happy things are kind of settling in and folks are getting back to the old routines and stuff. And I'm really happy when I get this basement put back together too. So
then we can press gang Jeff and his resin printer.
Yeah, that's good. I like where he heads at.
Yeah.
Do a DJ Kelly. Do and another one.
We'll just reach out. You know,
another one.
Our web. We'll just stretch. You know, John Kellogg has one too. We'll use that too.
Yeah, I've got all these ideas and stuff I want to do, but got to get those machines running again.
Got to beat them Legion boys.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you, there's friends and neighbors, there is nothing worse than seeing terrain files that you have and you had plans for and even had rules and scenarios in a draft form, and you go to the game store and there's already a cat who's got it printed and painted and knocking out a different game with it, and you're like...
you got scooped.
They're good cats, though. They're playing Legion on Thursday, same time as we're playing Dust. And I recognize a lot of those folks.
They love painting white.
Oh, no, they don't. No, they
still don't.
Because we're actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because we're doing a spinoff podcast called I Hate Korax White. Somebody said that. Just like, you know, there's like, it had to be at least six people playing Legion. And on the far side of the game room, all you hear is, I hate Korax White. I'm like, that's our new podcast, bro.
You're just bringing the sound clip of Chris Farley. Kill Whitey.
All right, friends and neighbors, we've rambled long enough. Welcome to episode 6. Hope you enjoy. It cost you $0.
And that will get you 0 crates.
Some of our listeners jumping in on much appreciation to our the Discord channel and the chat. We've had a lot of fun going back and forth. Keep your eyes peeled. We're going to attempt to do a takeover angle on August 1st on the Book of Faces. It's a little hush hush at the moment, but we're hoping you'll get a good chuckle out of it and maybe have a little fun. So we're gonna get those fantasy booking pencils sharpened, and those make sure you got a brand new eraser, because we're all going to have a little bit of work to do.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
The following preview is courtesy of the Radio Free Infidel Network. Greetings, infidels. It is I, Mean Gene Mustafa. Found something out over the weekend. I played four games with my new army that I picked up in first part of the year.
Designer army, if you will.
Well, you gotta be crafty with them because I mean they're still rank one troops. I mean you look at them cross-eyed and they start falling down or spiraling off, I should say, if the rockets are on. But I had asked for a long time, why are people not playing the rocket troops from the Axis?
Because they watched The Rocketeer too many times and they saw all the prototypes where the German dude stood there and just blew up.
Hey, we've got enough bubblegum. We can make this happen. We can cover that leak and it works just fine.
Well, Rocket Man does have that fin on his head, so he can.
He's the only one. Everybody else is just like making short hops, but he's the one sailing.
Everyone else is just a knuckleball, just floating around.
So yeah, I've played four games now in the last week. The first time playing them, and I've been having a blast. I stole a move from you because you would take Kaori's platoon, which is her and another squad, and they gain her camo ability when they're together. You called it the jellyfish unit. And I think you used a battle squad to do that, I think, most of the time.
Because they have everything. They're the Swiss Army knife of the Luftwaffe rockets.
Yeah, not to get too technical, but yeah, a couple Panzerfaust, the machine gun, four assault rifles. It's got great range, and they can
hurt airplanes.
They can shoot at planes, and they move three, march six with a jetpack.
They got what you need.
So that was one of the first things I put on my Enlist app. I was like, okay, well, I want them. And then obviously Rocket Man, and most of my choices went under his platoon because they get an improved armor save on turn one. They don't have the airborne drop ability like the Fallschirmjäger.
They don't drop within one.
Right. They come jetting onto the table. And man, I had a blast, and all I did was basically take one of everything, and first game was versus Bill, and we were playing Legend Has It, game one of the Sacred Curse of the Sacred Dawn. Bill helped us play test this scenario over a year ago. And in the games with Bill, that's when we figured out we wanted multiple scoring options.
Because we wanted more ways to try to beat him.
Well, we had a cheat, and we cheated by adding more stipulations
that he didn't know about.
But I, Bill said, I didn't remember because I'm used to losing to Bill. Bill said I beat him in that playtest. So he was looking for the comeback. So we played last Thursday night via Messenger, and we had a great game. It was back and forth, back and forth. He brought a Soviet list with Mercs, and he did a pretty slick move. He brought an obliterator, which I'm a big fan of, and we talked about it being a possible hot stonk earlier this year. And he put Koshka in it, and with her ace ability, kind of it takes care of the reload that has to be done when you fire the main guns. And he used it really well. So then I had to target it quickly and shut that thing down. But it was a great back and forth game. He had Winter Child. He had a carrier bringing the Nina, and he had an assaulter with this command squad in it. And apparently the command squad got airsick and weren't used to moving around, and they didn't reactivate anything the entire game.
Unlike your command squad, which I believe is up to what now?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We'll stick with the first game. And I found out why the Liftwiffle, take a drink, command squad is, why is it 13 points? Now, it's got a rocket launcher in it. It's got the assault rifles. It's got a couple Panzerfausts in it. It's almost armed just like the rest of the squads. And with the command actions. But like 13 points, that's heavy. Well, the reason it's 13 points is because it never fails. If you need to issue the order, get moving, you bunch of monkeys, it works every time. It has worked. It worked every turn versus Bill. It kept me in the game because Bill was coming on strong early. And with his command squad on strike and or lack of Dramamine, it left the door open for me to come back and play to the mission and catch up because he was putting a hurting on me early. As we moved on to the dusty day down in Libertyville, all the games I played, the command squad worked every turn. Even like turn one, they first action is to move on to the board. And I'd be in a desperation move, like, I need the squad activated. And they did it every time. It was insane. I've never, it's like 17 turns, 17 activations or something like that. And I'm like,
that's probably more reactivation successes in that streak than your entire career up to that point.
Oh yeah. No, my it got so bad where I kind of got dependent upon Iron Joe.
I need in, a command
in,
vehicle.
In the truck, in the command truck with the command squad to get that, to have that reroll, because I would need it every time. And I've had times where it even failed then. It didn't matter.
Two dice, reroll. Second action, two dice, reroll. Ah!
Yeah. So, no, that's why that command squad is 13 points.
German efficiency.
You're paying for quality. It's not quantity, it's quality. No, it was a lot of fun. I've really, really, really enjoy
Loki.
The Loki. So he had great stuff in his force, and I think he played it well, but I think maybe it was a lot of fun, and it's my kind of army because it is risky. It's not guaranteed, you know, like you can't, it's not a forgiving army. It's definitely not Space Marines where, I moved him over here. That was a bad move. I might lose one or two.
Oh, I remember watching you, you flew them over the sand wall, like immediately into the enemy garrison. You're just like, I hope I don't die.
Totes my goats out there. Totenmeister was represented.
Heinrich. Tropical.
Yep. And he also brought the bigger one. So now,
you know, you're like right next to him, right? Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they had already activated. I was like, okay, here we go. We're gonna hop over.
It's like sticking your hand into a jigsaw trap.
Well, I had faith. My 13-point command squad was backing me up for that next action. It was like, think, got it.
The toilet is full of syringes.
So, no, they Rocket Man was on a roll. He was in the game versus Graham. He was playing the zombies with. He was looking for tanks because he brought a really nice force. He had something for everything.
He's running the suicide squads, right?
Well, yeah, suicide squads. He had, I think, the zombie grenadiers.
Some mindless zombies in there.
Mindless zombies. He brought our, he brought the
Von Stein.
He was running that platoon, trying to get the tokens out there, getting the suppression built up.
Yeah, the fear, yeah.
Because it was Sandwall.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this big thing blocking the middle. And he ran up. I kind of caught him. He had to make some choices. And he busted through and started putting pressure on me, but then I hopped behind him and started working the back corners because I'd my army had no armor in it. I thought I was going to bring two tanks because I sent you the list the night before.
Oh, with the E-10 and the E-15?
Because our friends at Game Chefs hooked me up with a Joanna, and I thought, well, this is an opportunity. I can take two tanks and put Alex in one and put Joanne and the other, and we'll fire it up. Let's go play some games. And I realized that I'd meant to order another tank, but I never did. So I was like, if I can't, because I like the idea of having two. So that's what I did with the infantry. I had two of every squad, except the battle squad. I think it only had one because that was the KR unit.
Because that's all you needed.
So we, I took the force and had no armor in it. It was all
dudes.
All dudes. And when I was playing Graham, he was looking for tanks and there were no tanks. He's like, I'm ready. I want to fight some tanks. So like, you didn't bring any. I'm like, no, sorry, maybe next time. It wasn't the Canadian sorry. It was, sorry. So next time I'll bring tanks. So he had a few guns that weren't quite well suited. But again, it wasn't any fault to him. He made great choices. Rocket Man would not die. Rocket Man was that first forlorn hope unit that came, zipping across the wall first, and with his move and fire ability started working one of the flanks. Well, and
he had to survive because, you might say he knew it was going to be a long, long time.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, long time.
Till
yeah.
Activations came around again to find.
Yep.
He's not the squad that he used to be. Yeah. Oh, no. They're all dead.
How about you?
I went old school. I went with the jankiest,
heavy grenadier Axis, you know, level 3 infantry around. So I was like, Lara, Flak Boys, the command squad. I took that platoon, like where they reactivate, the command squad reactivates on a faction or reticle. And then I also took.
Yeah, you won a whole lot of standing by the end.
But it's
yeah,
just rocket mass.
Yeah. No, we had a good time with it. And I don't know if it'll work that good next time. But it was nice to get out there and roll some dice.
A Prince Luther with Panzer Prince and also Desert Fox. So I basically had 3 units that could reactivate the other 3 units in a 6 activation army.
My 6 pack?
Yeah, I was just like, you 3 are all going to go, and then you 3 tell them all to go again. And then Lara just rolls up and just like, we're going to roll 54 dice at these people. Sustained.
Yeah.
It was glorious. But hey, you know, they say what you will.
That's our instigator, going out making friends.
I literally walked into the reactive fire of a Tengu and was just like, hit me. You know, it was like Johnny Mnemonic, right? You know, he puts in the mouth guard and he's just like, hit me. And then it just
put the bit in.
Yeah, he just puts the guard in and then it's just images coming at him, except it was like Tengu laser lights, just, you know, rail guns just coming at Lara and friends. But they survived.
Yeah.
Because of the weather. I still got a cover save from that stupid Tengu.
Yeah, you're still having flashbacks from Sinkhole. You don't like seeing those Tengus.
No, because literally, like, Lara and her friends like came across the gap, because I was playing against Candy and she took her 2 tank traps and put them directly in front of in front of the openings, so she couldn't.
Oh, on sand wall.
Yeah, she placed them there, so she literally could not bring her Tengus across, and so like they just posted up. It looked like the end scene of RoboCop, where Ed 209 is guarding the building, and I roll up there with my Cobra assault cannon, state of the art, bang bang, and I'm just like, "Don't shoot me!" And I just start blowing away these cadets, you know, who have dazzling speed. You know, it's a cadet. It's a, you know, the five woman cadet squad with like Hitomi and Akiko. Yep. You know, like they have the heroes, so they've got like 10 wounds sitting in trees with dazzling speed. I'm like, I'm going to need all 54 of these dice because there's no way I'm going to hit all of them.
Well, what did you have to fight the Tengus?
I didn't fight the Tengus.
You were just waiting.
I had nothing. Okay. I had no armor destruction whatsoever. I had Lara taking like the hot barrel of her gun. Like, yeah, you know.
I'm going to tear up this paint job.
I had nothing. And Candy knew that too. Like after she placed, because we did the terrain placement, and she placed him down there. And I'm like, you know that you can't catty corner through tank traps. And she's like, you have nothing to kill Tengus. I'm like, you're right, I don't. You know, I'm just like, I got nothing. So, like, but her Tengus, you know, they made that wall of death on that other side. So I'm just sitting there hoping I survive, you know, a reactive fire. And that's how it happened. You know, one of them, the Lara squad, survived and got across for the end of turn 3. And then I was able to reactivate my command squad. And I snuck them across the border, you know, coyote style. And what was standing right there is another Tengu being like, I'm going to reactivate. It reactivated, came down to, you know, I had no saves against the Tengu. But then damage resilience, strong. Had to get both of them.
Yeah.
Survived.
As a side note, in the games, I saw good brother Ben brought his Rangers and he brought a plane. And the weather kept the plane off the entire game. And it happened again when I was talking about playing Graham earlier. He had great stuff in his army. I think he had a mosquito.
Yeah, he had a mosquito.
And the weather kept it. We had severe weather the entire game. It never let up. And he was never able to bring
the plane
around. That hurt him. He's basically playing down points.
Yeah, that's like 18 points or something. Like yeah. That. You know, it's heavy.
And not being able to shoot it, the only thing he could do with it was do the no action. Because that was one of the weather element is something we definitely kept from Nathan's original design of that mission. I mean, in our remix, the only thing we really changed was the turns and the how the garrison
yes
terrain is placed. I think that's the only thing I remember really tweaking. I mean, it's I feel like the mission is very true to the original. Like these are minor tweaks we put to it. Yeah, the weather it snake bit Graham and Ben. So I didn't know if anybody else. I think those are the only two planes that I saw.
Well, so, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles.
But that's also why we put objectives inside buildings too sometimes, just so you hear and read, very, you know, from the internets that folks are like rolling big iron, they're rolling big tanks, they're rolling lots of mechs, you know, they're rolling superheroes. And one of the things we've always encountered we have done to counter that, to try to, you know,
to counter the encountering.
Yeah, thanks. I'm kind of tripping on my words. I'm high on brisket. We gotta probably stop recording after we barbecue. Should probably maybe record before, but just a thought. Anyway, we started putting objectives inside places where tanks can't go, and to make people play with the infantry a little bit.
We make the infantry become the Kwisatz Haderach to go to places that others can't go.
Paul?
They said you were dead. Squint.
Yeah, squint. Yeah. You know, the stuff that we write, we want folks to play with all their toys. And we don't, it's not impossible for someone that brings a bunch of tanks and then a superhero or the Winter Child or Percy himself. But it's like, okay, just be, you know, you can still go claim it with him, obviously, but don't leave him hanging out there to get shot. If that's your only infantry, you know, it's like,
it's a tough road to hoe.
He's got a lot to do and they can get a lot done, because Bill was tearing me up with his Winter Child. I mean, it didn't matter.
Those radiation blasts, they hurt.
Man, I was feeling so good. I made a bunch of good saves, you know, on a roll. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I could hear him chuckling, you know, via the internet. So I'm like, oh, I got to pick all these up and roll them again, don't I? Like, radiation beams.
Well, then, yeah, rolls up on Goliath and just like literally hits him once and, you know, auto kill. It just looks like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Goliath's head just goes, and yeah, just like a Pez dispenser.
Well, I was able to keep Goliath away from him. Unfortunately, Goliath went down to gunfire, but he ran. He was really, Bill was really smart in the game, because he ran Winter Child right up the middle on Legend Has It. So I couldn't see him, and he was in a good spot where he could respond where he'd be needed in turn two. So I kind of did something similar with Goliath, but I laid him up a little short, broke out the pitching wedge for him. So I didn't go max move. I held him back a little bit so Winter Child couldn't just come over and, you know, pop him in the nose and be like, good night, Goliath, you know, get off the table. So we were counterpunching. We wait and see, trying to make him play out the activation, see which way one of us was going to go.
Playing chicken.
A little bit.
You love Luftwaffe. Hey! After you said, I hate you for playing Luftwaffe.
I should have specified Fallschirmjäger.
Okay.
On that. That's a little bit of the easy button, in my humblest of opinion.
You blame Brian Gamori for that one. Hey, man, we roll up with 43 rockets, sustain, an expert.
Solo.
Oh.
No, I'm not a big fan of the Fallschirmjäger. I mean, I get it. I know why folks want to play them. It's...
makes for a fast game.
But it's funny when everyone that I've played Fallschirmjäger get upset when I break out the KV-47s and start laying out smoke. It's like, well, you've got your gimmick and I've got my gimmick and neither one of them's automatic now.
Stop liking what I don't like.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry my infantry's not out in the open for you to just mass murder three squads at a time. You're going to have to earn this one. You know, armor 4, DR, and smoke cloud.
That's why we got Mario. It's that way we have Mario Luigi, yeah. Bomberman, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not saying it's an automatic, but it's definitely a roadblock in the path of victory.
Rolls up with that demo charge. It's-a-me!
It's-a-me!
Boom!
Big bada boom.
You
You like Luftwaffe. All right.
Yep. 13 points for Command Squad. Ain't so bad when it works every turn. Now, if it didn't work at all, yeah, that'd be like cold stonk.
The coldest of stonks.
Yeah, but it's
absolute zero.
Yeah, absolute zero. It's almost like you can probably measure it. It's so cold, it's probably in kelvins. It's just, it can't even touch it. Lose your hand. I think it's time for a pause for the cause, folks.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Well, Scott, I've been trying really hard to catch up, man. I've missed out on a lot of things these past 3 weeks, 4 weeks, really. Working a ton, have all the stuff going around here in the house. You know, I go and hear from you actually sent me the message saying, hey, the platoon's dropped. I'm like, oh, sweet. You know, I took a break at lunch and I'll thumb through them. And it wasn't like another four. It was like the floodgate got opened up and there were eight more platoons that dropped. I gave him a quick glance over.
Well, yeah, you rolled up. I mean, you know, it was like in Gladiator when Commodus rolls up to Marcus Aurelius' father. He's like, have I missed it? Have I missed the battle? It's like, you missed the war.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you missed all the platoons.
Yeah.
Here you go.
So you wrote some of them.
Yes.
But a lot of these came from Greg.
Yes.
And maybe others. I'm not 100% plugged in on that. And I say the collective we a lot, but I mean y'all.
The royal, not the we. The royal we.
Yeah. But what I really mean is the y'all. Isn't me not included. You were pointing a few things out to me and you wanted to go over them because I had thought it'd be like before where four came out, one for everybody kind of deal.
Yeah, we could chew on them a little
right?
bit.
And then we'd see another drop and then maybe possibly a third or however it broke out. But with all eight coming, it's a lot to chew on.
Yeah.
And you had made a comment, hey, I mean, there's some stuff that might get missed. Because there's a few names that shine a little brighter than maybe some others.
There's a few tips and tricks that some people have already figured out. You know, they were quick to mention on the Discord, like, what are the various implications of these things? But it's like, yeah, for a lot of people, I think they're gonna go look at the ones that apply to the factions that they play, and they might not see all the other cool stuff that's kind of buried in with some of these.
Which I'm totally guilty of.
Yeah, same
like,
here.
Like, I would look at a mercenary one. I would look at a Soviet one. Like, I really dug Ivan's out from the first wave. I thought that was super cool. But that's kind of where my eye would wander. And maybe in IJN, because I'm collecting them. So you picked out a few that you wanted to walk through. So we picked out three platoons that might get tossed in the shuffle. And I think the first one we talk about, let's talk about our boy Oz. I mean, you're talking OG here. I mean, he was the dude that came in one of the campaign boxes. That's how you got him initially.
Yeah, he's straight up from the 117.
Yeah, and now he's included in the
– He's the Heroes of Ascom. Well, he was in the Heroes of Ascom box, wasn't he?
I thought he was in the command Heavy Rangers.
He was recently thrown in with a box in the past year.
He's not gone. I mean, you can get him, but for a long time he was only available
the campaign box.
So he has the platoon's called Allied Dry Heat, and I remember you telling me about this one. So it's led. The platoon is led by Oz. Got to take him. And you got to take a Heavy Ranger Tank Hunter squad and any medium M3. So you got tons of options.
Yeah, which is pretty much all of their walkers.
So what do they get? They get the Heavy Ranger Tank Hunter squad, automatic bazookas, and Oz's flamethrower both gain the phosphorus skill, which is it's funny because the IJN's been stealing from everybody. So now somebody's actually swiping from the IJN.
Yeah, swiper, no swiping.
Yeah.
Dora the Explorer up here, she's taking it back.
So I thought this was pretty slick. I mean, granted, if you know you need the book, or is it maybe the one of the campaign books?
This is one of the campaign books with the IGM, the phosphorus rule.
So do the phosphorus rule. But it's basically kind of like when you fire a smoke cloud or you fire off smoke launchers, the smoke stays for two turns. Phosphorus stays for a turn. So whatever you target with those bazooka guys, that tile is on fire. So if something activates in it, moves, they can get hit again. And it's a blap, so phosphorus is a blap.
Phosphorus.
The bazookas aren't. The bazookas are single shot.
But the fact is here, it's not so much the damage, it's what this platoon can do in terms of it flushes people out.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got that hardened situation in cover, well, guess what? Now that's on fire.
Yep.
So I can't just take Lara and post her up with a squad of flak boys in some trees and hope that I can survive with a 66% chance to live plus my damage resilience. You know, it is literally a way to flush, especially with the range. Because, you know, you can flush people out at range. Or, you know, they have to make the choice. I'm going to sit in the fire.
And I dig it because we're playing with old models. You know, there's a lot of Tank Hunter models out there in the world that are on the shelf. And maybe they've been passed over for the Grim Reapers and Chubby Rhinos, Punchy Bunch. Because usually it's flying in and start dropping fists versus so much the bazookas. And this is one of those expanding platoons because if you add another squad, they inherit that ability as well. So this could get – you could have a lot of crazy fun.
There's a lot platoon. Of area denial. And if you're curious about the phosphorus rule, on the Discord, check that out. There's a guy named Swampsters that's been kind of putting all of these rules and regulations and small keywords. He's been putting those all up into a searchable GitHub sort of thing online. Checking the rules question section on Discord, and there was a talk about this, what it means for phosphorus, because I think it was Sagebrush. He's like, oh yeah, that's really cool, but one of his things was that I don't have the rule book, or I don't have the campaign book for phosphorus. Where do I find that? And of course, my response was, buy my shit. Literally, that's what it was. It's like, well, buy the rule book. Like, software, if you don't want to buy the rule book, check Discord. There's a whole bunch of resources on there that other people have done. I've done a lot more work than we have done on those things. So use them.
I'm digging this platoon because it's a fun time platoon. And old school cats can play it. New school cats can pick it up. It's not that hard.
It's relatively cheap to play as a platoon, too.
Yep. No, this one looks like fun. I think. Definitely looking forward to this one. See if we can get Big Brother Ben to try this one on.
You got to get him those Rocket Boys.
Next up, we've got Gregor's Go-Go Gorilla Platoon. And this is the lead of this platoon is Gregor the Defector. And he has to take 3 combat units. The first one is a Blutkreutz Corps guerrilla group or a pioneer squad. The second option to include is the mercenary multi-option build your own adventure infantry squad. Any
surprise,
of them.
It's the Tengu Tax.
Yep. Anyone you want, the basic one to the, if you want the heavy tank or the all DACA all the time, whatever, grab it and go. The third one is the Barking Luther. And then this is our, we've been itching to play with this one. We know it's got 12 barrels of fun, but not real deep in the armor. But that's.
I mean, like Luther Vandross, not real deep in the armor.
What the world needs now
are guns, sweet guns.
Yeah. So what do they do? What happens when they all come together? Well, you pointed out. The gorillas chosen as combat unit 1 count as mercenary. Once per game, Gregor and the gorillas chosen as combat 1 can re-roll all failed attack dice when in smoke or trees. The name of this platoon is called Gorillas in the Mist. and I am officially renaming it to Gorillas in Your Midst.
Because that's where they're going to be. Although they don't have to be, technically, because we all know that Gregor with Salvo and then, you know, the ammo drop behind him will probably destroy most things.
Yeah. Because if this is Merc, why not have that reload Justine crew chilling behind Gregor going, don't worry, big dog, you go ahead. Let that salvo loose. We got you. Free action. I mean, come on. That's just good times.
I mean, essentially, this is one of those situations where you can use the squad to insulate Gregor to keep him alive longer.
And like I said, whatever flavor of gorilla, you want some charge time? Okay. Let's give the Merc something they don't normally have.
Although, actually, wait a second. You can't put them together in the same squad.
No, you can't. Gregor's a loner.
Well, he's also armed with four.
Yeah. But still, it's, I mean, I've learned the hard way when we went to, it was Gen Con a couple of years ago, and we were playing the Cats from New Jersey, and Gregor on top of an objective will not die.
That's just because you're playing Arthur.
Well, Arthur's lucky SOB when it comes to defensive, you know.
I got my tactics. Stuff painted real fancy, and this record will not.
Don't get me wrong. I had a blast. I mean, I had to work for every square of the grid, but yeah, he rolls damage resistance like a demon. I mean, it was a great game. It was very back and forth. I got zero complaints, but
just like
Gregor on top of an objective in cover. Oof.
Well, and this is that, you know, those Flameburst gorillas, you know, the Pioneer squad.
Yeah.
Being able to re-roll that. Okay.
Yeah. That, I mean,
well, and this is almost, this platoon is interesting because it's almost a narrative sort of thing. Kind of like, you know, where, you know, he was the defector. Which I will now probably, if you play him in this platoon, I will call him Gregor the Erector, because that's what happens, is that, you know, he's drawing in other dudes. You get to play more gorillas as a mercenary, which is really cool.
I kind of think that Gunther would have gone with him.
Gunther's probably dead.
Can't.
No, I'm fairly certain that, you know, our boy, you know, Mr. Faust himself, he probably had to put Gunther down.
Well, that's not my ending, so I'm going to run with mine because mine makes me happy.
He's on the moon.
He's on the moon, man. Hey, so we got one more to go. Let's go. We're kind of staying with Mercs. We didn't intend it. It just sort of happened. And this one, I think this is a Greg special. I think this is all him.
This is all Greg. I mean, this. I will fully admit it. I was just like, hey, this is an idea. We should do something. I think I at one point said we should do something with the following models. That would be cool. And then what he kind of came out with it, I was like, sure, okay. Yeah, that'll be broken as hell. Let's do it.
Well, we got, quick story time. It was a couple episodes back. We're narrative nerds, but when we saw Shadowhunter show up on some of those IJN names, we're like, well, let's, you know, now that we've seen the cards and now that we know what the stats were, we kind of whipped up some fantasy book platoons that apparently we should send to War Factory.
You got something in your eye there?
Yeah, nod, nod, wink, wink. So, anyway, so I was really curious. Like, well, what are you going to do? And then they told me, oh, we're going to put Alex and Nathalia together. I'm like, all right.
You're thinking Double Dragon.
I'm thinking it's a, you know, like it's a throwdown, hoedown, you know. And that's not gender specific. That's, you know.
It's like Green Acres.
Yeah. Right? So. This one, this platoon is called Surface to Air Sister Platoon. And it's led by Alex, the mercenary pilot, and any aircraft. regardless of block.
Any aircraft. Remember any aircraft.
Yeah. It has a required, it has a three-unit requirement. The first unit is Nathalia.
Oh no, 2 points.
Can we all tip a glass for the best 2 points in the game?
Well, I mean, remember when we went down to Libertyville and I was playing against Candace and you were playing against Lon, or you know, you're playing against Kiwi and there's four of us there, you know, we're playing two different games. And it's like, where's your Natalia? It's like, here's mine, there's Candace, there's yours, there's Kiwi's. They all look different. They're all painted. It's like, hello, we all have Natalia here.
I got such a good pop out of when they all saw your belt fed. The one, you know, I cut the belts to fit her hands. And then, you know, we put that belt-fed Nathalia out there. And that was a good pop.
Kellogg looked at it. He's like, bolts are a little bit big. And I said, shut up, Kellogg. Shoot you next.
Just on the back end of the belt. The front part of the belt's pretty good.
It's fine. It's magical bullets.
So that's unit one. Unit two, it's our favorite. The mercenary multi-option build-your-own-adventure infantry squad. Whichever one you want, plug it in there. Got to take one. And the third, and now we're talking my language. We're going scoots.
Yeah, you saw these for real. You saw these in action a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I took them. Made people hate me.
Scoots Magoots.
Scoots Magoots. Combat Unit 3 must be the Recon Squadron Vespa Squad. And for folks who have been under a rock and have not listened to this podcast the past 6 months, that's the scooter squad with the artillery observer.
And raid.
However. So what does this magical platoon do? I did not know until we looked at it the other night.
What's in the box?
So, pain. So we looked at this. Their platoon advantage is called disproportionate response.
Which it is.
And the rule is, the aircraft piloted by Alex can use the observer skill of the recon squadron as if it was an artillery weapon when using its consumable weapons, ignoring range while doing so.
Hint, ignoring range. Consumable weapons.
Yes.
Has to have the box. Has to be like that limited ammo sort of thing.
Much like the Star Trek hip hop rap song, knock them out the box, Luke. Knock them out. So,
Star Trek? Star Wars, my dude.
Did I say Trek?
You said Trek.
Oh, is that the one with the fireflies in? No. Okay. Same thing, right?
No, not even close. Sorry, I was having a stroke. I can't feel my arm.
Well, you know what? We did it again. We broke our own rule. We went and had barbecue before we recorded.
That's not why I'm having a stroke.
Well, I'm high on brisket, so you do what you got to do.
You didn't even eat all your brisket.
Couldn't. I was full. There were ribs involved. I'm pretty sure the itis is kicking in.
That's fine.
So, consumable.
Has to have the box on the card.
Hang on a minute.
What are you doing?
I am going to the interwebs. What? I gotta go buy a plane.
What plane are you buying now?
The plane. For this platoon. Mm-hmm.
What the fuck are you talking about, dude?
That's right. You're about to get fucked.
Change his name. Get fucked.
Get fault. So I'm rocking this one. I'm suggesting for this platoon. Oh, let's see. We've got so many options. But yeah, I'm going Falk. I'll take the 6 bombs with no range penalty.
6 blaps?
For 600, Alex. The danger's mine. So yeah. I think that, there's a lot of things you could do. You could put her in one of the Allied planes and do the whole strafing run. And, of course, it's Alex, so why not make that one, you know.
Or just put her in a Falk and make her expert.
And she rolls up, and you just hear this. Bum, 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 bum.
Hey, hey, what the fuck you playing?
Come and get your funk.
She's just obliterating six squares on the board. That granted, okay, fine. The scooters do have to be able to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But unlimited range. You just take your fall. Zip it around 20, you just zip it around 24 squares to get the super turbo evade, and then you just park it in the back corner, move it one square next to it. Then just get falked.
I'm renaming this platoon as well.
Can you even get the falk? Is it available?
Not stateside.
Okay, because it's an older model.
Yeah, we're not real sure. I remember the original, like, Adler, Blitz, Horton box, because I remember it was one plane, and then the different weapons you plug in, the OG. I'm not sure when, like, the Hex and Geist, that style plane.
Hex and Geist specifically came out 2018.
Okay.
Because I remember that was the first model I got. That was where, I was kind of just watching Dust. I was watching the tournament the event at Adepticon 2018 being played. I watched the whole thing, and they were giving out participation stuff at the end. And Brian Gamori looked at me and goes, "Here." And then just hands me a box. I wasn't even playing. I was just watching it going on, and he just hands me this Geist. I'm like, "Oh, okay. This is mine now."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a little excited about this platoon. And I happen to play Mercs, so this won't be a too hard a fit for me.
There's a lot of different airplanes. And interesting with this is, you can bring in – this is a good way to bring in any airplane into – any aircraft into a mercenary platoon.
No, it's – you and I both –
You want Mercs and an Invader? Go ahead.
Yeah, when we were talking a while back, we would love to see more aircraft in the game, but they can get kind of pricey, being anywhere from 17 to 20 something points. And
yeah, like the Tornado, that's a big boy.
Yeah. But no, I'm yeah.
Just wait until the Black Mamba comes out and then watch and then reevaluate the following platoon with the Black Mamba.
Yeah. Now, that's we're going to have to play Black Betty for that one. So, yeah, folks, let me take a pause for the cause. I need to go get my PayPal password so I can complete this purchase. But we'll be right back with the rest of the show. Continuing our episode theme of catching up. So, apparently... not too long ago, Ammo Drop did something a little peculiar. We haven't seen anything like this before. They're putting out their own minis. Now, this is what it looks like me on the outside looking in. I'm not really plugged in on what the haps are lately, but looking at the old book of faces, they're putting out some stuff that says Ammo Drop at the bottom of the card, not so much... all dust all the time. So these look like some special edition or.
Well, these say on their boxes, it says Gael Gamon edition. And he is the primary sculptor for a lot of the models that have been made, that Paolo has decided to purchase and use. So, I mean, we know that like this first one in particular, Adelaide, the Addy Battaglia, mm-hmm. she was based on a piece of art that Paolo did as the mascot for Ammo Drop. So we know there was art originally of her, but now she is a actual model.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool. Yeah, looking at the card here on the online, it says it's got a part number. It's got usually, with Dust, they'll have their product codes. So like. Mercenaries or ME, Axis or AX, mm-hmm. along that line, and then whatever the number is. Well, this is ME555, Ammo Drop Special Edition. And it's Addie, and she's a 7-point mercenary hero. She's expert with her heavy shotgun, which is basically the equivalent of a steel guard shotgun. It's like, what, is it range 3 or 4?
It's range 3, I think.
Yeah, range 3.
9 shots.
On rank 1. I mean, that's not terrible.
It's basically like that AA-12 auto shotgun.
Yeah, that's just pain time right there. And then she's expert. She's expert with it. That's not terrible. And she's got the ammo drop ability. She can do ammo drop like an officer. And she has her own special ability that she can use rally like an officer. But on friendly units in range, they roll 3 dice instead of 2. So you're trying to shrug suppression.
Now, the interesting thing there is that it's all friendly units within range. So she can do it. She can run into a middle of a pile of people that have been suppressed by, like, and stay down, you know, and then she can just be like, rally everybody. She does one action and everyone within range, you know, line of sight gets, you know, range 2 or 3 gets it. Rolling 3 dice.
And then this is my hero. I got to play a game last night with Devin, good brother Ben's wife. And she was running her Grape Apes, all monkeys all the time. And I was playing my Lift Wiffle. I'm not drinking on that one. I think I've registered that one by now.
That's what it's called.
And I was running Johanna, the best tank driver ever.
Joanna.
Don't let me get all cool in the gang. I've already been singing already on this episode. I rocked her in the flame wiffle tank, and worth every penny. I mean, obviously she's a cousin to Magda for the Mercs because the stats and the boots are very similar. And so is that machine gun because it was doing work.
But this is the same model that Hot Ones did for their Kickstarter, right?
Right.
And it was done in metal, and it was done at a different scale. It was 1 to 35.
Yeah, our good friends over at Game Chefs let me know that they had one, and I was able to pick one up from them. And I want to say it's like 28 mil, the Kickstarter one in metal.
But then we also knew that at some point Dust was going to do one in the proper scale.
Yep.
But this is not a. This is not the Dust version in proper scale, as far as I'm concerned, right?
It looked a little small.
Well, the card isn't. I'm pretty sure this still is the Ammo Drop Special.
Yeah. AX411, Ammo Drop Special Edition, Johanna, Lieutenant Steiner, Lift Wiffle, 6 points with Defensive Pilot and Burn It. The same thing we've seen before, stat wise. I don't have the card in front of me of the.
But yeah, no, it's in resin though.
The Kickstarter. But then we break y'all new ground, man. And this is where I feel. You know, the people who listen to this podcast know how much we loved Fantasy Book. We love to take that eraser and change some things, and we've even just created things for funds, and. We've always, I mean, since we started doing the podcast, we were always wondering what else could we do for Mythos? Because being a newer army and having less models at their disposal, we were always having this, you know, like, man, I don't know what configuration we could do that would be narrative and be fun and be, you know, in the swing of things. And I feel like I just got duped. Like it was there the whole time and I couldn't see it. And that's where these next two entries come.
It's not your fault. You didn't know you had access to them.
Well, thing is, though, this is an easy bit swap, though. You could do kind of sort of easy. You could have done to make. But so the Ammo Drop folks have come up with character hero Migos. And the first one is the Herald of Northolothep. I'm already twisting the cap, friends and neighbors. Drink.
Was that like a Murloc talking right there?
I make no excuses. Okay. I know the rules.
But so do I.
It's amigo. It's amigo. Moving 3, marching 5, level 3.
man, Amigo with Infantry Ace. And let's ring it up, people. Not one, but two Death Rays. Range four.
The dose.
This guy has got two pistols that go blast. He can go blap, blap. He can shoot two different targets if he wants to, or he can punish one with the radiate. It's got radiation. So he's putting two blasts down on a square if he wants, and they have to reroll saves for successful saves. Four, you know, he's, I don't know how many points this guy is. Four wounds. He's 11 points. He's got ace. I mean, come on. Everybody that plays this game, any character with ace is awesome. Diver.
Rolf.
Koshka.
You can't even say his Rolf. Name. You can't even say his name.
I don't want to say his name. I got a permanent sock imprint across my jaw.
It says Hanes on the side of your face.
I know. It's terrible.
No, but this dude, so this guy, 11 points, you put him in with the other Migos that have the laser gun, the death rays, you know? So that's, he can target two squads. Each one of those guys can target a squad on themselves. So you have this one squad with ace being able to target five different squads of, you know, five different blaps. Like, this is literally, he's a Merv.
Yeah.
You know, Migo, independently, you're wrecking vehicle. I know wrecking starts with a W.
Yeah, but in this case, and you know what? I'm just going to say this now. Here's the long kiss goodnight. You put those two guys in Nadir's platoon.
The Migo Swarm platoon just came out.
And now they all have scout.
Hooray! We're all going to go 3-5.
And so you got Nadir tanking the squad. These other two guys... Might as well put the big poster up.
I've figured it out, right? So it's going to be Nadir, these two heroes, a squad of the you know, we got all the associated, you know, schlubby Migos, and then two schlubby McGraths, spawn of Nagroth, whatever. You know,
why is there not a drink in your hand at this moment,
sir? Because there's not enough. I literally be drinking the sea. There's not enough. Then you go. There's your army. There's your army. You send the Migos forward, and then you go bowling for cacti.
Oof. Yeah. Like I said, plenty of points left over for Murder Cactus.
Or you have the Murder Cactus come up and grapple something, and then you have them get shot with the laser Migos. And there's nothing you can do about it. The end. Good thing to note, though, is because these are not necessarily official yet, so I believe, as far as I understand, since they're unofficial, they are not to be used in any official capacity as of right now. And from what I also understand, that this is, their previews are for autumn 2021. I'm thinking they're looking for a September release on these things.
Well, they're cool looking figs. I mean, the Addy fig, I'm a mercenary fan. Like, got to catch them all.
They look super cool. Although I am a little bit sketchy on the Migos in resin, because those wings are going to snap more ways than me getting up in the morning out of bed.
Yeah. But, man, I tell you, you can easily convert a plastic Migo.
Oh, yeah. No, all you do is give him the laser guns, and then you take the other one and give him a...
Because I picked up a couple. Like, I think I got three Migo kits, unassembled kits, because we were... I mean, it's not much of a spoiler, but... You and I have been working on Escape from Detroit for a while, and we wanted to do some specific models, much like we did for the Ook from Marrakesh.
Yes.
For our the kickoff, our last Dust Day last year. So, I'm not worried about resin, me personally. I got lots of plastic at my disposal.
You just got to get one of them Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Secret of the Ooze canisters, slap them on the Migo, call it good.
Yep.
Suddenly he's a tactician. He's a brain bug. one of them smart bugs.
Well, there you have it, folks. There's a few more things that they showed. I think some variant of the Steel Samurai and
It's their painting. Like they paint them all fancy. It's the Calamity guy is painting them. And don't get me wrong, they look badass. Because that Calamity painter they have, he does work. Hork.
Yep. Excellent done. All righty, folks. Take a little pause for the calls. We're coming right back. Oh, it's got Tactician and the Eldritch Bolt. So Eldritch Bolt, for folks who don't play a lot of Mythos, it's a blast weapon, and it's radiation, so they have to re-roll successful saves. And it does decent damage on vehicles, usually like 4 points to level four. So it's strong enough to be felt. This isn't terrible. He's got four wounds. So now all of a sudden we can insulate Amigo Squad without how always depending on the deer. And
because we all know those Migos die real quick, especially if, you know, if they're assaulting a bunker strong point in melee.
And let's put a pin in this one because we're going to come back to it because there's something else I thought of. And this next guy is the Exalted. It's Migo.
He's got the big iron on his hip.
Oh, man. This is some Marty Stewart stuff. Or I don't know, man.
This Migo is now named Johnny Guitar.
I should say Marty Robbins, not so much Marty Stewart. They're both guitar slingers, but big iron on his hip. I got the Marty right. I got half.
You got half
credit. Good brothers, good sisters. As we warned earlier in the episode, there is some upcoming blue content. You're going to get a 10-second countdown and a go and a segment that's about a minute and 20 seconds long. You can fast forward if you're in a position where you can't play it out loud or have sensitive ears around. It's pretty fitting for the episode. It's pretty funny. It's very tongue-in-cheek. We normally don't go blue, but we couldn't resist on this one. So when you hear go, you can jump a minute and 20 seconds, and then you're going to go into a segment where we say goodnight to a good brother.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. People say people from Brooklyn curse a lot, but they don't mean to. Certain words are adjectives to them. Like when I was going to college, I was in a history class with a friend of mine who was from Brooklyn, and a professor was talking about when Argentina attacked the Falkland Islands. So, this guy's going, yo, professor, what Falkland Islands are you talking about? So the professor's like, you know, I don't think you want to say it. He's going, hey, no, you don't understand. I ask you a question. I got to know what Falkland Islands you're talking about. There's Falkland Islands all over the place. What am I supposed to put on a test for crying out loud? So the professor's like, look, there's only one Falkland Island. He's like, hey, moron. Hey, read my lips, all right? There's Falkland Islands all over the world. Look at the map. Look at it. See those little pieces of dirt floating around in the water? Do you know what they are? They're Falkland Islands. You got the Hawaiian Falkland Islands, the Bermuda Falkland Islands, the Caribbean Falkland Islands, and somewhere on there, you got Gilligan Falkland Islands.
Friends and neighbors, while we were taping the segments for this episode, we had heard that Biz Markie had passed away. I don't know how many times I've screamed and yelled that song out, with the chorus of that song out, that he's known for with several other friends. It brings back a lot of great memories. The guy was super funny, and he is a legend with just that song. So we're going to play it now in his honor. May he rest in power. So crank it up and scream it out. You know what? When you hear that chorus, you know what time it is.
Your mom's is so poor. She went to McDonald's and put a shake on layaway.
Oh. That's the right. Is your mother so old she knew Central Park when it's just a plant?
Your mom's hair so nappy she gotta take painkillers to comb her hair.
Yo, forget them girls, man.
What's up? I got a little story to tell you.
Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short miniskirt. I just got on stage dripping, pouring with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bits, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on, I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say.
You got what I need. But you say he just a friend. And you say he just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he just a friend. But you say he just a friend.
Was worth for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends, and that's a fact. Like Agnes, Agatha, Jermaine, and Jack. Forget about that, let's go into the story about a girl named blah 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 that adore me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build a relationship or some understanding. How it's gonna be in the future we was planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her room, a guy picked up, and then I called her again. I said, yo, who is that? Oh, he's just a friend. Don't give me that. To see my girl that was so exquisite. It was a school day. I know she was there the first semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was a dorm. This guy made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was and I was on my way to see my baby doll. I was happy to say I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know I wasn't for such an event. So I came to a room and opened the door. Oh, snap! Guess what I saw? I felt a tongue kissing my girl in the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I sent. Don't ever talk to a girl who says she just has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend. Has a friend.